This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stafford chased, escapes, fires, caught! Touchdown, Cooper Kupp!
First and 10, the Cuse at their own 38. Decent field position to start this drive for McCord. He wants to throw it on first down. Middle screen, it's intercepted on a tip. The Panthers have it, running down the right sideline. Brian Lovelace, he's at the 10, the 5, and into the end zone. A trifecta of pick sixes for the Pitt Panthers in this game.
All three linebackers, too.
Those are the stories right now. Pitt 7-0, they creamed Syracuse. Kyle McCord keeps his streak alive. Seven consecutive games with over 300 passing yards. Problem is, he completed way too many to Pitt. Threw five interceptions, three of which returned for touchdowns, the first FBS team to have three pick sixes in a half in 25 years. Three linebackers for Pitt taking them back for touchdowns. Unbelievable. Brandon George laying on his belly with an interception, one of the plays of the year. And then in the NFL, Cooper Kupp, he's back, he's healthy. That's great, Steelers fans, right? Right? Wrong. Five catches, 51 yards, a touchdown. Looks like he'd be a welcome addition here in Pittsburgh. Problem is, Rams won. So guess what? They're only a game back in the division. They take on the division leader, Seattle, next week. They're healthy for the first time all year. They're not going to trade that guy. Steelers still need a wide receiver. We talked to a New York Giants expert in the last hour. He says Darius Slayton is probably available. Thinks it would only cost like a fifth-round pick. And that he's a great route runner. Can take a top off the defense, does have some drop issues, but has been consistent even with inconsistent quarterback play. So that's the guy I would be chasing. We'll get to all that as we move forward in the hour. Brian Batko, our Steelers expert, joining us at 9:35. Right now, we're looking into the future. It's Locktober with our guy from Paramount Sports, Lee Sterling. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, guys. Let me ask you a question. Did even one person tweet out or X or call the radio show asking for Justin Fields to come back now?
No. It was all Justin Fields last week, Lee, and then
right now
it's all Russell Wilson. Hell, man, I can't hide. I thought it was a silly decision by Mike Tomlin, and Tomlin looks like a genius.
He does for a week. Now, Russell Wilson's not going to play that way every week, but I think it gives them a little more top-end ability on the offense. So we'll see how it plays out, but I think it was the right decision. And things don't work out. You can always go back, but you had to find out what you had there.
We'll get your thoughts on Steelers-Giants coming up in a bit. Did you see the Pitt result coming last night?
No one saw that. I mean, that was crazy. Five interceptions. I mean, first three possessions. I've had some bad games, but I don't think even through two interceptions in a quarter. So that was I don't know what you tell the quarterback at that point.
Worse yet, so. He sacked himself in the fourth quarter. Just totally sacked himself. Yeah, night to forget for Kyle McCord.
Hey, what's crazy is how does Pitt used to play Miami? It didn't seem like every single year. They don't play this year.
Well,
this is a year to have them play.
They might, Lee.
Yeah, could happen. You guys going to go if it happens?
Doran will be there. I don't think I'll make the trip, but yeah, Doran will absolutely be there.
Okay.
All right. Well, Lee, Pitt's next opponent, SMU, they're favored by 13 over Duke. Who you like?
So I think SMU has kind of found themselves, and they thought that they were going to do it with Preston Stone. Preston Stone looked great last year, and then all of a sudden he got into games, and he couldn't even complete a five-yard pass. So they made a change and didn't look good for a couple games, but all of a sudden, Kevin Jennings, sophomore, has looked really good. I just don't think that they are on the level of a top-10 team. And you want to lay double digits in your third straight road game against a defense that has not allowed more than 24 points. Duke offense is not real good, but I just think Duke's going to come to play. Good home team, 15-2 the last 3 years at home. I think SMU wins 23-16. I'll take the double-digit points here in Duke.
Penn State going on the road, taking on Wisconsin the week before the big one, Lee. They're taking on Ohio State in Happy Valley. Next week, they're laying 6.
Yep. I think that Penn State is just one of these teams that can beat the teams and they're better than. We don't know if they're on Ohio State's level, but, I mean, the play calling has been good. The way they came back against USC was excellent on the road here. So I don't think that they're going to be intimidated at all. Wisconsin hasn't played anyone. Look at their 3 wins over Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern. 2 games they lost against Alabama and USC. Those 2 teams aren't even ranked anymore. I just don't think they have the top-end weapons at running back and receiver to do enough damage on Penn State. I think Penn State pulls away here 28-13.
On to the NFL, Lee Sterling, our guest here from Paramount Sports. Cincinnati, a slight favorite at home against Philadelphia. I'm not a huge believer in Philly. I'm not a huge believer in Cincinnati either, Lee. Help me see this thing.
Well, there's some times where you're just scratching your head. You're watching Jalen Hurts, and he'll fumble the ball when he drops back the pass, making just a horrible read. But I think they're starting to get it going. Saquon Barkley right now, the best running back in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, he's got his 2 receivers healthy. A.J. Brown is really rolling here. Cincinnati's victories have come against the Panthers, Giants, and Browns. Combined records of those 3 teams, 4-17. During the last 2 games, the Bengals were outgained by the Giants and the Browns by 113 yards. Cincinnati has played 3 good offenses this season, and what has their defense allowed? 41 to the Ravens, 38 to the Commanders, and 26 to the Chiefs here. I think Philly's has it rolling here, 31-17.
Baltimore, a big favorite against Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland's got some real problems. Tough. I mean, I think Jameis Winston is actually an upgrade at quarterback, but I don't know if Nick Chubb's going to have enough room here to operate. This Baltimore offense is, I think they're clicking on all cylinders. Right now, they're the team in the AFC I fear the most if I'm Kansas City. So the offensive line even coming together in the second half of that game last week. So look out here. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Baltimore 31, Cleveland 13.
And now to Monday Night Football. The G-men come to town. Steelers, the line opened, what, 4.5?
Yep.
Now it's up to 6.
You know, the Giants haven't beaten a winning team in a standalone nationally televised game, it seems like, since Bill Parcells was a coach. They got some real problems. Play calling hasn't been good here. And Giants' offensive line was awful in 2023. Even worse this season, left tackle Andrew Thomas gone for the year after foot surgery. Mike Tomlin made another right decision going with Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback instead of the more mobile and less effective passer, Justin Fields. The Steelers have blown out the Raiders and the Jets the last 2 games, but in their last 18 victories, only 4 have been by more than 1 score. It's going to be exactly 1 score. Pittsburgh, 24-17.
All right, and finally, Lee, you mentioned Bill Parcells. He obviously coached at Army. Well, we got Navy here. Going up against Notre Dame. Navy, man, they're good. Like, they're actually good.
Watch this kid, Blake Horvath. I mean, not only has he run for 10 touchdowns, which is kind of normal for an option quarterback, Army, Navy, or Air Force, he's thrown for 10 touchdowns. They're going to, the over-under, they mentioned Roger Staubach, will be 4 times in the game. You want to get Notre Dame laying 14 against Navy? Be one of the first 5 callers. Call 800-400-9741. Give you the game for free. 800-400-9741 to get Notre Dame and Navy on me. And we're rolling 12-4 since last weekend. You want to hop on board in honor of Stuart Scott, the Halloween Booyah Bundle. You're going to get 3 days of action. Football from tonight through Sunday. World Series, first 2 games, 1-2 between the Dodgers and the Yankees. All our hockey, all our NBA action, everything. Normally this would cost you over $400 for the 3 days, just $147. No one hotter. We've won 7 of the last 8 weeks in football. just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Booyah Bundle, it is Locktober, and we look forward to talking to you next Friday. Thank you, Lee.
You too, guys. Take care.
Be good. Safe. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He's got the Steelers winning kind of a squeaker. I don't know if that would satisfy me. They got to go in there and beat the hell out of the Giants. They're not good. I talked about this with Patrick Leonard from the New York Daily News in the last hour. They got Dexter Lawrence in the middle. They got a good pass rush. And yet, with a 340-pound behemoth, their rush defense is horrendous. And even with that pass rush, they're giving up more big plays than just about anybody in football. Doesn't make any sense to me. But they're the Giants, and this is kind of what they do. Steelers better handle them. But we'll talk more about that coming up on Monday. The football story today is the 7-0 Pitt Panthers. How are Pitt fans taking this? They got a path, absolutely, to the ACC championship, and thus, they have a potential trip now to the college football playoff. 5 games to go. Are you a nervous Pitt fan? Are you waiting for another shoe to drop? Are you enjoying the ride? How are you feeling about your 7-0 Panthers? I'm asking because I'm curious. I had 3 wins last year, now 7-0. Is everything gravy? Where are the expectations now? Give me a ring. I want to talk to you about it at 412-928-9370. You can also text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet me at @_AdamCrowley, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Want to hear from Pitt fans next. So Pitt wins last night. They're 7-0. Kyle McCord stunk after Pony said he was going to shove it to the Panthers. I thought McCord would have a good game. I thought that Syracuse would hang around until the fourth quarter-ish, and then Pitt would win by double digits. Said so much earlier on in the week, I did think Pitt would win. And the question is this. How are you feeling, Pitt fans? I'm not a Pitt fan, you know that. So I'm curious, at 412-928-9370, are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Are you worried that things aren't as great as they seem? Or are you riding high? 3-win team last year. Is it all kind of gravy from here? They're not going to look at it this way, but I would. If you wind up going to the ACC championship, great, of course. You're celebrating in the streets. You might even burn a couch or two. Run up and down Boulevard of the Allies, not wearing any clothes. I'm not suggesting you do that, but I've seen things, college campuses, things of that nature. If you don't win the ACC, if you don't go to the ACC championship, guess what? Eli Holstein's back next year. He's a redshirt freshman. A lot of those guys making plays defensively last night, they'll be back next year. I've heard from people deep within the Pitt program that they're going to have a nice pool of players coming in next year. That's all I'll say on that. So even if this season ends at 9-3 or 10-2 and not a college football playoff berth or an ACC championship game berth, well, it could be the start of the quote-unquote Eli Holstein era where things can even get better. Now, here's a text. Only the ACC champ will make the college playoffs. Pitt would have to finish no worse than 11-1 with a win over Clemson, then beat Miami in the title game to get into the playoff. This is pure fantasy. It's absolutely not pure fantasy. It's not. I don't know that I'd pick Pitt to win the ACC right now, but to think it's a fantasy, I think is ridiculous. But I think that that's kind of emblematic of how Pitt fans think. I think Pitt fans and West Virginia fans are very similar, even though I'm not sure either fan base would love to admit it. And when things are going good, you're always kind of waiting for the bad thing to happen. Where's the boogeyman hiding? When's the other shoe going to drop? Pitt can win the ACC. Of course they can. Miami's not unbeatable, for God's sakes. Miami lucked into a victory against Virginia Tech in one of the worst calls I think I've ever seen. The ruling on the field and then going against the ruling on the field with a dude laying in the end zone and the lights are turned off at Hard Rock Stadium. I gotta be careful saying Hard Rock Stadium. Almost butchered my way through that. Could have been an FCC violation. Look, Miami's beatable. Miami was down by a million to a Cal team that Pitt didn't let do anything offensively. They were in a dogfight last week with Louisville that they had to win, putting up 52 points. If they don't put up a 50-burger, they lose the game to an unranked and fairly disappointing Louisville squad. Miami's not unbeatable, so if you see them in the ACC championship game, you've got more than a puncher's chance. Cam Ward's outstanding, could be the Heisman Trophy winner. Okay, But that defense is awful. And Pitt's offense hasn't been right the last 2 weeks, but Pitt's got a good offense that's coordinated really well by Cade Bell. Don't tell me Pitt can't beat Miami. And Pitt's beat better Clemson teams than this when they've had worse teams than this. Pitt beat Clemson back in 2016 on the road. Clemson went on to win, what, the national championship, didn't they? Deshaun Watson threw three interceptions in the game. Pitt hits the game-winning field goal. This Pitt team, I think, is better than that Pitt team. That was a good Pitt team. This one's better. This one's undefeated. That Clemson team was better. Cade Klubnik, yeah, good player. Okay, he's not Deshaun Watson in college. So Pitt could beat Clemson at home. Of course they could. What are you talking about? It sounded like Starkey. 412-928-9370. Texter, on a scale from 1 to 10 as a Pitt fan, I am feeling between 13 and 9. Well played. Sam in Washington, PA. Good morning, Sam.
Morning. So my point to your question is, as a Pitt fan, am I riding high? I believe in Pitt, and here's why. You've got an offense and a defense, both on the field and players, and in the coaching staff, frankly, that believes in one another, not just within their own units, but on the opposite side of the ball. So they're coaching to win. They're playing to win because they know that the other side of the ball can really help them out. And furthermore, let's not forget, Pitt's got an amazing kicking team.
Oh.
So they've got that.
You ain't kidding there, Sam. That's a huge advantage, too. And I made fun of Boston because he was bringing this up every week on the show. But with Cade Bell, with Eli Holstein, with Desmond Reed, with Mumfield, with how the offense can move, they get to the 40-yard line. They're getting 3 points every time, Sam.
They are, and they're not afraid to play aggressive on either side because the other side won't lose it for them.
You're right about that, man. I mean, you think about the fourth down calls against Cal. That's why Pitt won that game. I give that win directly to Pat Narduzzi. They go for it twice on fourth down. That was the difference in the game, in addition to Ben Sauls, the kicker, who's been unbelievable this year. You talk about both sides of the ball here. You're right. I don't think Holstein's been great the last 2 weeks. The offense hasn't been great the last 2 weeks. Part of that in the Syracuse game is because you're never on the field, because Syracuse's offense was on the field the whole time because you're throwing pick six after pick six after pick six. But the offense hadn't been great the last 2 weeks, and you're still 2-0 against a feisty Cal team and a Syracuse team that came in here 5-1. I don't blame Pitt fans who are riding high right now. Of course not. And if you're a Pitt fan that's waiting for the other shoe to drop, I get that too. Spencer in Wexford, hi.
Hey, I think what you just said, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, is a reasonable thing, but I think there's a lot of hope to be a Pitt fan right now with a lot of the guys we have returning. And I think one thing that people are forgetting, all due respect to the former athletic director, but we got a new one. And I think Pitt Sports is in a really good position right now to keep growing these next 2 years and be competitive. And it's just, I went to Pitt, graduated from there, and it's a really fun time to be a Pitt fan. And seeing the football team 7-0 right now is really exciting. So I'd say I'm riding the high right now.
Is the season already a success, Spencer? What do you need to see to walk away from it this year and go, dang, that was great?
I think it is a success already, because you see the guys starting off 7-0 right now. It can only go up from here. Like if they lose and we don't make the ACC championship, it's like, all right. But these guys are going to come back next year, be veterans, and I think only exceed what they've done this year. And they have an opportunity to build on that. So I'm excited these next 2 years as a Pitt fan.
Thank you, Spencer. When did you graduate?
I graduated 2 years ago, so 2023, or a year ago, I guess.
Did you see those dudes, those Pitt fans, playing Flip Cup with Matthew Berry and the SportsCenter anchors yesterday?
No, I didn't.
They wiped the floor with them. Would you have beaten Matthew Berry in Flip Cup? Were you a big Flip Cup guy?
You know, I dabbled in Flip Cup a little bit, so I could, I'd probably be able to hold my own.
Thanks for the call, Spencer. Be good, man.
The usual, bye.
Callis, you a big Flip Cup guy?
No.
You ever play Flip Cup?
Yes.
But you're not good at it?
No, I just don't like it.
What was your drinking game of choice?
Is keg standing a drinking game?
Did you really do keg stands?
I did, and you can imagine people were having trouble holding me up. Yeah.
I did one keg stand in my life, and it was at the first party I ever attended as a freshman, and never again.
Do you want to hear the full story? It's a good one.
I do, yeah.
So there was this guy who brought this girl to the party. He was one of my best friends, but I guess they were just friends, and he kept trying to like pass her off to guys, not in a bad way, but you know, because he wanted attention and he wanted her to like, you know, be on him. Well, I was really intoxicated, and I said, "If I can do a keg stand for 40 seconds, I'm taking you out for chicken nuggets, young lady." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I only lasted 22."
On the keg stand or?
The keg stand, yeah.
That's pretty good. Nice try. Listen, young lady, you and I are going out in a day for some chicken nuggets if I do a 40-second keg stand.
I'm just like, dude, she's great. Like, just appreciate that.
40 seconds of a dude of your size is a hell of a long time. 22 seconds, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. That's the thing about Cal's. He's losing all this weight, down 23 pounds already. He might be able to do a 40-second keg stand if that were allowed on the program. All right, coming up next, we are joined by Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's a Pitt fan. He's a Pitt grad. We'll talk to him about Pitt, but I got to ask him about Steelers and their interest in wide receivers. Are they going to miss out? That is true. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And right now we are joined by our friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Brian Batko. And I want to talk to Batko about some Steelers-related topics, but Brian is a Pitt guy. And I know that because he was once wearing a Dan Marino jersey and yelling expletives in my face at a backyard brawl, the Devonshire game. I don't even know
Dolphins.
If you remember that.
Dan Marino Dolphins jersey.
It was a Marino Dolphins jersey. And it's a nice-looking jersey.
Just crispy.
How long have you had that?
That's just a fresh jersey.
Did you grow up with that thing, or was that like a recent purchase?
I'm not going to lie to you, Crowley. That might be like a youth extra large.
My man.
That I busted out for that night.
Are you like other Pitt fans, Brian, where you might be waiting for another shoe to drop here, or are you just enjoying the ride?
I'm enjoying the ride. I was pretty pessimistic about last night's game because, you know, obviously I, in between vacillating from like fandom to reporter, I covered this team on the Pitt beat for the Post-Gazette for a couple seasons, like 2.5 years maybe. And, you know, I'd seen Pat Narduzzi aggressive defenses get torched by good quarterback play, sometimes less than good quarterback play. And just, you know, a guy who gets hot and takes advantage of a lot of that man-to-man single coverage on the outside. And I was like, okay, this seems like a recipe for what Syracuse wants to do and could do. But, you know, the other thing that I've observed both, you know, from an unbiased and, you know, excited perspective too over the years was if it goes the other way, if a Pat Narduzzi defense is teeing off on a quarterback, you get kind of what you saw last night. But obviously even that was a different level than we've ever seen. I've never really seen a football game like that, let alone a Pitt game.
No, I don't know that any of us have. And I was just saying to City Limits in here before the segment, even if you're a Syracuse fan, the third pick six, you just have to laugh. Like I would imagine if you are still watching the game, even as a Syracuse fan, there's audible laughter. Because that, to me, it was uproariously funny. A screen?
You're doing the Walter White in the crawl space Breaking Bad, just like what has happened to my life? How is this happening? Is this real?
Yeah, it was a great night for Pitt fans, 7-0, big one against SMU next week. But we have you on to talk about the Steelers now. Brian covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Brian Batko, of course. And we saw Cooper Kupp go off last night-ish, 5 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown after the game. Sean McVay says, yeah, basically he's not getting traded. So I would scratch him off. They're right in the thick of things in the NFC West. A, do they need a receiver, Batko? And B, will they get one?
I never like to speak in absolutes in terms of like, oh, they absolutely need a receiver or they're going to be absolutely fine. I mean, there's a lot of nuance to those discussions. The offensive identity and direction can change. You see Russell Wilson get in there and all of a sudden, you know, guys look a little bit more serviceable. Like I still think there's more in there with Calvin Austin. I think they're still just kind of scratching the surface with what he can do running under some Russell Wilson deep balls. You know, the last game was kind of the first trial run. It's like, all right, let's play the hits. Let's just throw it up to George Pickens. He's down there somewhere. And he'll probably win that 50-50 ball over a Jets cornerback I've never heard of, and maybe even Sauce Gardner if he gets that one-on-one matchup. But as you keep layering this thing with Arthur Smith calling the plays, hey, do you get to a point where Russ is knocking the rust off more and now he can actually lay it out there and Calvin Austin with 4.3 speed can run under it? You know, that's something that they still might have in their bag as well. So all that being said, I mean, I've been really saying since the preseason, when I don't think the Van Jefferson belief that I had really transferred much from the fields of Latrobe to actual NFL stadiums. They just don't have a lot of versatility in that receiving core right now. I mean, they've got two guys who are taller than 6 foot in Pickens and Van Jefferson. And then they've got a bunch of smaller guys who are kind of underneath slot, you know, maybe technician as route runners and a Scotty Miller. Roman Wilson's still just a complete unknown. So I would not blame Omar Khan at all if he goes out and gets one, but I still don't think he's going to do anything rash or outlandish just because they're 5-2 and sitting pretty nice here.
Is Roman Wilson in the doghouse, or is this just standard operating procedure for Mike Tomlin with a young guy not practicing at all?
I don't think he's in the doghouse, but it's feeling more and more like it's trending toward one of those lost rookie years for a Steelers player. I mean, really, it seems to always be these skill position guys too, these receivers who are so reliant on their speed and quickness. So that's where I think you really worry too about the lower body stuff with Roman Wilson. I mean, ankle in camp, now the soft tissue with the hamstring. His game is going to be so predicated on the quick cut ability to begin with that if he doesn't have that, you know, he's probably not providing much. So that's a tough start for him. You know, we'll see if he can dig back after the bye. That's usually a good opportunity for anybody to reset, but particularly a rookie who hasn't really been involved to this point. And I'm not writing him off by any stretch. That would be silly to do 7 games in for a guy you invested a third round pick in and who was, you know, as good as he was in college at Michigan. But, you know, at the same time, you have to be a little bit concerned that with this receiving core and with this offense needs, that the coaching staff doesn't seem to be itching to try to find ways to get him on the field.
Last thing here for you, Brian. Arthur Smith, I think, has done a really good job. The offensive line has really just been, I mean, guys in and out, revolving door. They're not playing who they want to play due to injuries.
Fun fact for you, Crowley. I'm going to write about this today. The Steelers have used the most players on offense in the NFL this year.
Really?
That goes to show how many guys are. Well, actually, they're tied. They are tied with the Cleveland Browns. So that's really two sides of the coin of how things can go when you're dealing with a lot of injuries and uncertainty on offense. I guess give the Steelers credit for being 5-2 with that stat instead of 2-5.
Yeah, man. Like I think, you know, Russell Wilson gets a lot of the love last week, and Justin Fields was getting a lot of the praise. They're 16th in the league in scoring, which is significantly better than where they've been. They don't have a number two wide receiver. They had a quarterback that you saw clearly, because you compare him to the other guy, that wasn't able to consistently find the right guys in the passing game. And I look at them at 23 points a game, 16th in the league. I think it can only go up, especially if they got another receiver. But I think Arthur Smith's doing a really good job.
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's working with the pieces that he has. And I mean, I still don't think that he was one of the people who was willing and wanting to go to Russ last week. From being in his press conference last week, I was really getting the vibe that kind of, hey, what are we doing here? I mean, Justin's winning games for us, but hey, this is Mike's call ultimately. So, I mean, I give both of them credit. I mean, Tomlin for making that decision and it working out the way that it did, and Smith for designing a game plan around a 25-year-old, one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league, designed runs, schematic wrinkles in that way for 6 weeks, and then suddenly pivoting to an almost 36-year-old guy who's not going to be maneuvering around like that, but obviously has some different skill sets when it comes to, you know, using his right arm. So, yeah, I mean, I think early returns pretty darn good on Smith. Everybody's going to get frustrated with individual play calls and even drives. I mean, that's just the life of an offensive coordinator. I remember joking with him coming off the field one of the first practices at St. Vincent of camp. He was signing autographs. I was like, I guess this is sort of unusual for a coordinator, right? Everybody loves you. He's like, yeah, until the first punt. I was like, no, Arthur, this is Pittsburgh. Until the first incompletion, my man, you won't even get the latitude to get to a punt.
And so, it got squirrely out there the other day.
It did. And he brought that up. He brought that up yesterday talking, and that Russ was able to get off the mat, he said, and shake back. So Yeah, I mean, it can turn on a dime in the league. If the Giants are flying around and making Russell Wilson look old all of a sudden, we'll be singing a different tune next Friday. But I do like the job Arthur Smith is doing so far with a group that seems to be playing better than the, what is that phrase, the whole greater than the sum of its parts? Because
something,
yeah, on
like
paper,
that.
Not a lot of guys that scare you.
All I know is if they get four hands on Dexter Lawrence, a guy who was hugging Roger Goodell, then they should be fine. Brian?
And he looks pretty big on a love seat.
That's right. Thank you for your time as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. See you, Crowley.
See you, bud. That is Brian Bacco from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Coming up next, got to tell you about a special event coming up this weekend and something happening tonight that we have not talked about at all, and I wonder if we should be or shouldn't be, frankly. That's next, but first, it's a Nicholas Harry Callis fan headline.
Pitt won yesterday 41-13 over Syracuse. Pitt's now 7-0, first time that's happened since 1982. For more, go to 937thefan.com. And now here's Crowley.
Thank you, Callis. Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook apps got you covered today for black and gold football, Pens hockey, Pitt football, MMA Saturday night, and for the baseball series as game one between New York and LA is tonight. Penguins hockey tonight. They're a massive underdog against Edmonton. Check the Bet Parks app for the latest odds. And even if your team doesn't score, there's always another way to win on the Bet Parks app, playing all your favorite classic casino games like blackjack, craps, roulette, hot online slots, and Monday night pro football. Black and gold 6-point favorite hosting Big Blue. New York in the over-under is 36.5 points. I like the over. New users, download the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app. Get up to $1,000 casino bonus back if you're down in the first 24 hours. Casino.